streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of The Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to The Herd. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd all week as he is enjoying his Caribbean vacation, which I will be on next week. I'm looking forward to. It's getting closer and closer. Thank you guys for joining us today on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Alex Curry is with me as always.
Good morning,
Alex.
One more day till you're on your vacation.
So close.
One day.
So close. It's still long enough out that I'm like,
yeah, two more work days. It's like, yeah, tomorrow, like halfway through the show, I'm going to be checking in. Like, you still here, Joy? Are we still doing this?
Colin started getting a little vacation-y towards the end before he headed out. So we will be locked in because we have a fun show today. A lot going on. Rick Bucher will join us this hour as we got some more free agency news from around the NBA that we will discuss with him. And I think we'll get some more news throughout the day coming from the NBA, more free agency moves and trades and signings. So we will talk with him about that. Melissa Roland, Fox Sports NBA reporter, will be in studio with us along with Emmanuel Acho from Speak for Yourself later on in the show. But let's get started today talking about the champions once again and Draymond Green, champion and media icon. We have a lot of good nuggets from this Old Man and the Three Draymond Green collaboration show on The Volume. And the latest soundbite to make the rounds is him talking about Steph Curry in game four.
The emotion from him in game four, I selfishly think, and no one's gonna stop me from thinking this, I selfishly think it was in protection of me. I struggled so bad in game three. I was a disaster. And the reality is, I was a little rattled. I couldn't really dive into that. I was struggling. And so I'm like, wow. And I think he visibly saw that. But at the end of game four, on the court, I said, thank you. Because they were going to destroy me. Like, I appreciate it. And he's like, nah, you know what's up. Like, this is what it is.
I love hearing these stories and these little nuances about how championships are won and how dynasties are built. Those are the little things. Those are the things that matter. Those are the stories that you don't hear throughout the course of these championship runs. And, you know, listening to Draymond speak so transparently about it, you wouldn't think Draymond would get rattled because that's just not his persona. You know, he's the bouncer and he is the tough guy. He's the enforcer for that team. But Draymond is human as well. And, you know, hearing 21,000 people chant vulgarities at you throughout the entire game, on top of not playing well, which he wasn't in those games, that can compound your emotions. And it's perfectly human to say that you would be feeling that in that moment. But if Steph and him didn't have the relationship that they have, if Steph Curry didn't have the emotional intelligence that he has, if they hadn't formed that bond and had those experiences and awareness to know this is what needs to happen in this moment or things are going to start to unravel, maybe they don't win a championship. And I always find these type of stories to be really fascinating because this is the difference between throwing a bunch of pieces together, not knowing if the relationships work, not knowing if these players' personalities, however different they are going to match and if they're going to be able to see eye to eye and be on the same level to do all the little things to win a championship. Because it's so much bigger than just having talent. It's so much bigger than just spending money. It's so much bigger than being loud and having a big fan base. Everything has to come together. Now, it was also helped that Steph Curry was awesome that night at 43-10-4 in game four. But these are the stories that you hear about Tom Brady all the time, the connection that he has with Rob Gronkowski, that he can just kind of shoot him a look and Rob knows what to do. And he can call up players and, you know, have conversations with them that they would not have with any other teammate because they have so much respect for Tom. These are the stories that make championships. And this is why I love hearing this. We never would have known this if he wouldn't have told us. And it sounds hard to believe even hearing it from Draymond. Draymond was rattled, and I'm sure Boston fans love hearing that. I'm sure the reaction in Boston is very different. But at the end of the day, Boston lost the series. And it wasn't just because of the small things. They obviously needed some more pieces to overcome Golden State, which is why they lost in six. But this is what makes a dynasty to me. This is what makes lasting all-time players to me. Steph having the awareness that Draymond was struggling, being able to see that, okay, not only is he struggling on the court, all of this, all that's happening around all of us that we can hear is affecting him. And even though he's tough, and even though he can block out a lot, and even though if he was playing well and this was happening, he probably wouldn't be emotionally affected by it, all this is happening right now. So how can I take the direction of this entire building and all the attention that's on him and all the hostility that's on him and all the energy that's on him and direct it towards me, who's having an unbelievable night and is happy to gloat whenever I hit a shot, and just direct all of that energy in a different direction and allow Draymond to focus and allow him to get into a better emotional state and be able to contribute. And we know how the rest of the series went. So I think this was a fascinating finals, an amazing postseason, and a great overall season for the NBA. And it culminating in the fourth title for the Golden State Warriors and putting Steph Curry into another realm of success with the finals MVP, and hearing stories like this is just fascinating to me. When we get into the nuances of what makes champions, you hear stories like this all the time. It's a little moment. It's a little conversation. It's a little, hey, you take this shot that changes the course of sports history. And I loved hearing this, and it's not surprising because Steph Curry is one of the greatest players to ever touch a basketball, and him having the emotional awareness in that space to do this for Draymond is just incredible. So pivoting to James Harden, who is reportedly taking a discount in his new contract with the Sixers. So he's declined his $47.3 million player option for the upcoming season, and they are prepared to meet in the middle for a longer-term deal, but a lower annual salary. Now, there was a lot of kind of fear based around how things were going to go with James Harden's contract this offseason because he was pretty atrocious in the finals. Now, during the regular season, he contributed quite well. But the drop-off from his regular season numbers to the playoff numbers, which has kind of been the story of James Harden's career so far, I mean, for our radio audience, it's a tremendous drop-off. I mean, 22 points per game during the regular season to 18.6 in the playoffs, 7 rebounds per game to 5 in the playoffs. All of his statistics went down tremendously. So Brian Windhorst reported that Harden would be eligible to sign a max deal in the $47, $48 million range, and he is willing to reduce his annual salary to the mid-30s. So that's $10 million. Now, he's made about $260 million in NBA money plus $200 million in a shoe deal with Adidas. So let's relatively say he's made close to $500 million in his career. So you might be saying, what's $10 million? I feel like we get a little crazy with these numbers. If you're talking about 1 to 2 when you've made close to $500 million, sure. But $10 million is still $10 million. And this is what he does for a living. I don't like to count people's pockets. I'm not running in these checks. This is not coming out of my account, so it really doesn't matter to me. And I think that as a professional athlete, since you are a professional, you're entitled to make as much money as someone's willing to pay you. So it's not going to change my life. Now, I do also think when you reach certain points in your career, you can't argue that you are only in it for one thing if you are taking the max money and you know that taking a little bit less could provide these provisions, but I won't judge you for that because I'm not taking any less money. Now, I don't work in a business that has a salary cap, of course, but I do like to keep some perspective on this. He's not going to play basketball forever. But I do think that this is important because we punish players, we talk negatively about players when they don't have any self-awareness. So in the same breath, we need to praise them. We need to give them their flowers when they do have awareness and when they do make these type of concessions. Whatever you think about $10 million in relativity to how much he's made is your business. I think this is a significant thing to do, especially when you consider how the season ended, especially when you consider where he is in his career, how he's been playing the past few years, and his performance in the playoffs this year. To me, this shows James knows where he's at. He knows how we view his career and his legacy. And this is an opportunity here with the Sixers for them to add a veteran, like a PJ Tucker, someone who can really contribute to winning a championship. If Joel has a year like he had last year, I mean, I felt like he was the MVP. If Harden was able to contribute in the playoffs, that series might have gone differently. LeBron's taking the max with the Lakers. He didn't with the Heat. Durant didn't take the max with the Warriors. This isn't very common, but I do think it's significant. It deserves to be mentioned. And, you know, he's 33 this year. He'll be in year 14. It was a tremendous drop-off, and I can't crush players for having no self-awareness, for playing not up to the standards that they should be at as stars, and then not give them praise when they recognize that and make concessions like this that they don't have to do. He could take all the money if he wanted to. So adding someone like a PJ Tucker or a veteran that can contribute right away could be what takes him over the edge. And, you know, this money that he's reportedly freeing up with the Sixers might just be able to do that. And I think it's commendable, James.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cowan-Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner. Homie.
The Immaculate Reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got some news yesterday. I saw all the Spurs fans in my timeline freaking out. So I was like, I feel like DeJounte probably just got moved. And that is exactly what happened. So the Hawks are trading Danilo Gallinari and 3 first round picks to the Spurs for all-star guard DeJounte Murray. Woj tweeted that yesterday. The Hawks are also sending a 2023 first round pick via the Hornets plus their own 2025 and 2027 first round picks to the Spurs in the deal. And the pick swap in 2026. So the moves are made. They're getting picks, and the Hawks are getting DeJounte Murray. This is a huge move for the Hawks. Now, this is not good for my Heat currently, but this is great for the Hawks. DeJounte Murray is the perfect addition to this roster and is the perfect match for Trae Young. So Murray plays defense, first of all. Trae is a liability on the defensive end, but so what? When you have a player like Trae Young, and the issue with Trae Young with the Hawks was they were relying entirely too much on him. Yes, he can go have huge nights, but you can't expect that from him night in and night out. And that's not a game plan for the postseason, as they saw. So just allow your great offensive players to be great. Don't try and force them into being two-way players if they're not. They can't be a liability on the defensive end, but if they can contribute and hold their own, allow other two-way players and defensive players to fill those roles and allow your great offensive players to do what they do. And DeJounte is a playmaker, so the usage can go down. It allows Trae Young to be a scorer. I mean, you get an opportunity to get an all-star player like DeJounte Murray, you have to do it. He's also a Spur, which very much matters to me. Those are professionals at the highest level. Spurs are coached by the legend Popovich. So I love this move. I hate it for the Heat, but Hawks fans should be very excited about this. I think this is a great trade, a great move. And when you have a player like Trae Young, like I said, you want to put pieces around him. Be aggressive. Don't hoard up draft picks. Make moves like this when they're available. There's not a whole lot of players like DeJounte Murray on the market or in the league. And this is an incredible addition. I mean, you look at their numbers from last year. DeJounte last season, 21 points per game, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. He's the only player to average 20-plus points per game, 8-plus rebounds per game, and 9-plus assists per game last season. Now you're pairing him with Trae Young, the only player to average 25-plus points per game and 9-plus assists per game. He was 4th in points per game and 3rd in assists per game in the league last year. So this is an unbelievable pairing. It immediately makes them considerably better. And I'm a little jealous, I'm not going to lie, but I think DeJounte is an incredible player, and this is exciting stuff for the Hawks and for the East, which continues to level up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
I'm getting very excited about Justin Fields. I really enjoyed seeing the spark from Justin Fields last year. I guess I'm a bit of an elitist. I like big brands being successful, mostly because it's great for the leagues. And when the leagues do better, we do better and I do better. And so I'm selfish. I like when big brands are successful. It irritates me when the Giants are down. The Giants should be great. They're in New York. They should be better. That's better for everyone. When the Knicks are good, it is wildfire like around the league. That's what I want. And Chicago has obviously struggled at the quarterback position for a long time. Well, now they have Justin Fields, and he has a connection. Let's take a listen to Mooney, who caught 81 passes for over 1,000 yards and 4 touchdowns last year with Chicago, and he is singing Justin Fields' praises.
Just locking in and knowing what he wants to do with this offense, with this team, and him as a quarterback in this lead. He wants to, you know, take over the lead, and he's already Justin Fields. I mean, but he wants to be, you know, the best quarterback in the league. So, and he's taking the stride to, you know, be there. And then I got unbelievable faith that he will be there, and his success is my success. So, as long as he's doing good, I'm doing good. I mean, we're all doing good.
Yeah, Darnell Mooney is right. If he can take over the league the way that he wants to, it's going to be a different league. I think that the NFC North is not quite going to look the same as it always has. I mean, they went 6-11 last year, and they have a new offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, and a new coach. And if he can bring this team back to relevancy and win playoff games, he is going to be legend status, and it would be so fun for the league. So part of me is rooting for this to happen, but I also think that we saw enough star quality in Justin Fields that if he continues to develop the way Darnell Mooney was talking about, we are going to see a different NFL. When the Chicago Bears are in the playoffs and winning playoff games, like, that's something to get excited about. They haven't won a playoff game since 2010. So we don't remember quite what that feeling was, because that was quite a while ago. But, and the other thing is that everyone in Green Bay is acting like it's no big deal that Davante Adams is gone. Davante had 123 receptions and 169 targets from Aaron Rodgers last year. He's no longer there. The next closest target was Aaron Jones, who had 52 and 65 targets. 52 receptions, 65 targets. That's a slight discrepancy. So I don't think that the division is going to look the same over the next few years. I'm very excited about Justin Fields. I hope he continues to develop. And I had no doubt about his leadership ability and him being able to go in there and command respect in the locker room and around that city, who got obviously very excited about him. But I'm looking forward to seeing how he plays this year and how they take a step up. My question about how that's going to go is, of course, the organization, because we haven't seen that in a while.
Who are your top teams that you said, you know, when they're great, the league is great?
I mean, I think it's New York. I think it's Chicago. You know, you have big brands. Obviously, yeah. Dallas finds a way to be interesting even when they're not great, because they've won 3 playoff games in the last 25 years and they're the biggest brand in all of sports. So they have the special sauce to stay relevant when they don't win in the postseason somehow. I'm going to just take shots at Dallas all year long. They're going to be so irritated with me.
Dude, the one yesterday was epic.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas. I mean, Los Angeles having a Super Bowl winning team is massive. Now, we didn't have a team here. Now we have 2.
Yeah.
So that's important. I think San Francisco is a team that needs to be competitive.
Okay.
And I don't have anything against small markets. I mean, I'm from Pittsburgh. And, you know, you have Kansas City being relevant. Denver being relevant, again, is important. I just think for balance around the country, having those big, massive brands relative and playing in the postseason and winning postseason games is different than just being competitive.
Okay.
Because you're always going to have those fan bases be attached to these teams. Like, the NFL is not, like, they're not going anywhere. And Jacksonville maybe, but, you know, it is what it is. Well, and even when they're good, their fan base rallies around them. So it's a little different in the NFL because of just the massive nature of the sport. But I do think those big brands being relevant and winning playoff games is really important for the league. So I'm excited about Chicago, and I hope that Justin Fields has a lot of success there.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Herd. Joy Taylor in for Colin Cowherd. Let's play quarterback pressure cooker. Is it pressure cooker or pressure meter? What did we decide on?
Pressure cooker.
Okay.
That's what I have in my paper.
Cool, let's do it.
Okay. How much pressure does Trey Lance have going into this season?
I will decide whether they have low, medium, or high pressure heading into the season. Trey Lance is medium pressure. Okay. He's still basically a rookie. He only has 3 starts and 101 pass attempts over his 2 seasons. So he's only 22 years old, and they gave up a lot of picks, 3 first round picks to move up and draft him. So they are going to move forward with him regardless after this year. But, you know, he's coming off of Jimmy Garoppolo's era with the Niners, and that was a lot of winning, a lot of injuries, but also a lot of winning. So medium pressure, especially with this organization.
All right, how much pressure does Russell Wilson have coming into this season?
High pressure. You could argue the highest amount of pressure because the last 2 big-time quarterbacks to move, as you mentioned earlier, Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady, switched teams deep into their career, won Super Bowls first year with their new team. Now, I don't expect that with the Broncos. I didn't expect it with either of those players either. But, you know, they have a new coach as well. It's Russell Wilson. He's forced his way out of Seattle. He's a, you know, future Hall of Famer, and I think a lot of people feel like he probably needs another Super Bowl. The Broncos have been a quarterback away for a while. There's a lot of pressure on Russell Wilson this year.
All right, how much pressure does Dak Prescott have this season?
Medium pressure. The Cowboys have won 3 playoff games in 25 years, but he does make a lot of money, and rightfully so. I do believe that he deserved it.
Yeah.
They did have some losses this offseason. Nobody seems to think Amari Cooper or Cedric Wilson are a big deal, but CeeDee Lamb's going to have to become a true number one. What happens with Mike McCarthy if they don't do well this year? And a lot of that is going to ride on Dak Prescott, who always puts up great numbers, but again, it doesn't translate to postseason success. I love Dak Prescott. He's one of my favorite players in the league, but he's got a little bit of pressure on him this year.
All right, how much pressure does Matthew Stafford have coming into the season?
Low pressure, low pressure. He spent 12 years in Detroit paying his dues in the league and won a Super Bowl in his first season joining the Rams. I do think there are a lot of expectations of the Rams to be great again this year because you look around the NFC, there's not a whole lot of competition at that level. They've made some additions this offseason, Allen Robinson replacing Robert Woods. They could bring Odell back during the season. But he shut all the haters up and won a Super Bowl, which I'm happy for him. He deserved it. I don't think there's a lot of pressure on him this year.
I'm calling back to back. All right. How much pressure does Justin Herbert have going into this season?
High pressure. Joe Burrow just played in a Super Bowl against Matthew Stafford, and that is this guy that was drafted in his draft class. And he's still searching for his first career playoff appearance, not even win. They had an aggressive offseason. They need to take advantage of his rookie deal also as well. But he is tremendous talent. Love watching him play. No question he's a star, but they do need to make the playoffs this year.
How much pressure does Aaron Rodgers have coming into this season?
Medium pressure. I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers is a postseason quarterback now. We can have that conversation. He doesn't do anything in the postseason. He's a tremendous regular season quarterback, back-to-back MVP. They were the number one seed in the NFC, had home field advantage, and we know how that ended. So I thought it was a catastrophic ending for their season, but we don't even talk about it. Medium pressure on him.
How much pressure does Tua have coming into this season?
High pressure. They've already tried to replace him twice. For two and on, they've already tried to replace him twice with Tom Brady and Deshaun Watson. First year under his new head coach, Mike McDaniel. But I think if this goes badly with all the moves they've made this offseason, he will not be the starting quarterback in Miami next year. So high pressure on Tua.
How much pressure does Trevor Lawrence have coming into this season?
Low pressure. New head coach. It was a disaster last year. Any kind of development with Trevor Lawrence would be a step in the right direction. I'm rooting for him. I think he had a really bad start and go to the season last year, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he does under his new coach.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe.
From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Pop.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after the 3-0 in a winner chicken dinner, homie.
The immaculate reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We have Emmanuel Acho, Speak for Yourself, on set. This is exciting. We have two guests in studio today. Melissa Rowland earlier. And yeah, we don't always get guests in studio. Thank you for joining us, Emmanuel. Have you seen Vacation, Colin?
I have not.
Vacation Colin. Vacation Colin is a vibe. Vacation Colin gets loose. He's posting reels. Okay, with the music.
Oh yeah.
Like he's getting creative with his vacation content. Thanks for jumping on with us. So I want to play this sound for you. We've gotten a lot of clips from this Draymond Old Man and the Three collaboration podcast, and they're kind of sort of trickling out. And one of them we got yesterday was Draymond explaining what happens in game four of the finals. And I found it to be very interesting, very telling. I want to see your thoughts on it. Let's take a listen.
The emotion from him in game four, I selfishly think, and no one's going to stop me from thinking this, I selfishly think it was in protection of me. I struggled so bad in game three. I was a disaster. And the reality is, I was a little rattled. I couldn't really dive into that. I was struggling. And so I'm like, wow. And I think he visibly saw that. But at the end of game four, on the court, I said, thank you. Because they were going to destroy me. Like, I appreciate it. And he's like, nah, you know what's up. Like, this is what it is.
So I found that to be very interesting. Now, I didn't look at it as a negative thing. I think that we're all human. And if 21,000 people were chanting what the Boston fans were so eloquently chanting at Draymond Green, and even the best of us, even the toughest of us, might get a little rattled, which he did. But I also think it's the nuance of, that's the difference between championships and dynasties, is those relationships, those unspoken bonds.
Yeah. I would say it like this. I think Steph Curry is incredibly calculated, incredibly calculated. For those that don't know, our highest level athletes are playing the game that y'all see while simultaneously playing a completely different game within the mind of the opponent, within the mind of their team. I do not think Draymond Green is correct. I do not think in this moment Draymond Green is accurate. Steph Curry was on a mission. Two missions, Joy, if we're being real. Two missions, Alex. Mission number one, win an NBA championship. Mission number two, be the reason your team wins the NBA championship. Not only be the reason, make sure you win a finals MVP and leave no doubt. I don't think Steph Curry was really worried about babysitting Draymond. Steph Curry knows Draymond Green is the grownest of men. So while Draymond Green, I guess, retroactively can have this type of revisionist history, I don't think Steph was doing this to detract from Draymond. I think Steph was really just hype. They got beaten game one. They came back and took game two. Game three ain't really go their way. Came back game four and Steph Curry went crazy. So this wasn't, why Draymond Green make everything about Draymond Green?
First of all, it's his, podcast. He's telling his story, how he remembers it, how he experienced it. I'm not going to tell somebody they experienced something they experienced differently than they experienced it. I do think there are these kind of connections, though. We hear stories like this with Tom Brady, where, he just gives somebody a look and they know. And when you've played as many games as they played together, I think this is a possibility. So I want to ask you about Kyrie Irving. I feel like Kyrie is a great player who does things his own way, and I think the league told him that he's not great enough to play in only 29 games by his own choice, and people are still going to take big swings on him. The Lakers seem to be the only team that were interested, and that's why he ended up staying with the Nets. That said, I think it's the best situation for the Nets, KD, and Kyrie. What are your thoughts on where Kyrie is right now?
Kyrie's in a dilemma, because it's not about where Kyrie is as much as it's about that quote, one, be where your feet are. It's about that quote, like, regardless of where Kyrie goes, Los Angeles, Brooklyn, Boston, Cleveland, drama follows Kyrie Irving. So even if Kyrie Irving is in Brooklyn, which he now is, drama still gonna follow Kyrie Irving. Heading on to the Lakers, drama was still gonna follow Kyrie Irving. So I think Kyrie is in a bad situation, because I think any situation Kyrie is in is a bad situation. Think about Boston. Boston went to the Eastern Conference Finals before Kyrie shows up. Kyrie shows up, they lose in the semis. Kyrie hurt in Eastern Conference Finals. Years later, Boston, NBA Finals. So I think Kyrie's in a bad situation, but that's because I think Kyrie's making it a bad situation. I think wherever Kyrie Irving goes, that situation's toxicity, it increases exponentially.
talking to Emmanuel Acho here in studio with us on The Herd. So I have a couple NFL takes I want to float your way. One I think you will like a lot. Two, I don't know. So I'll start with the one that I think you will agree with me on. I'm out on the Cowboys this year. Now, you are from Dallas, so I don't know.
Have you ever been in on the Cowboys?
Yes. Yes. I drank all the Cowboys Kool-Aid last year. It tasted delicious. And then I got so hungover that I was like, I'm never going to drink again. But this time I actually mean it. And nobody ever means that when they say that when they're hungover. But this time I mean it. I'm not drinking any more Dallas Kool-Aid. It's like Jägermeister. I won't have it. I won't touch it again. Devil's juice. Look, my mom's a Cowboys fan. Skip Bayes is a Cowboys fan. I know lots of Cowboys fans. They've won 3 playoff games in 25 years. I'm not saying they won't be competitive. I'm not saying they're not going to be good. I'm certainly not saying they're not going to be relevant. But I'm done having conversations about the Dallas Cowboys as a contender.
They're not contenders. Not Super Bowl contenders.
Super Bowl contenders.
NFC East contenders all
sure. Oh, No. They love a regular
all
season championship.
Day.
Cowboys love, they've got banners everywhere for the regular season championships. So that being said, I'm all in on the Eagles. In the NFC East, not multiple playoff wins. I think they could win a playoff game. I think they're going to grow on the momentum they
I'm
had last year.
He's moving.
I'm
okay, let me make you say something bad about the Eagles now.
No, I am in on the Eagles. But to say all in, now mind you, you're talking to a former Eagle. The Eagle literally cut every big check I got in the National Football League. But when you go all in, I got to see more. Jalen Hurts, I got to see more.
Okay, but I'm asking, I think they'll win the NFC East this year.
Oh, the Eagles will?
Yeah. And I think they have a chance to win a playoff game, which I think was woke for them.
Fair. Remember, last year they were in the playoffs. They were competitive-ish against the Bucs. I think the Eagles can absolutely win the NFC East. But, Joy, I look at it like this. You got to go take it from the Cowboys. This isn't one of those divisions where, like, oh, yeah, the Eagles are just going to give it to you. The Cowboys is illegitimate as they are as being Super Bowl contenders, they are incredibly legitimate as NFC East contenders. And I believe if you want something in that division, you got to go get it in that division. So the Eagles on paper look the part. I like the Eagles roster just as much, if not more, than I like the Cowboys roster. The Eagles, 2 bona fide receivers. The Eagles, a starting running back that still got the juice. The Eagles, a quarterback that is going to grow exponentially, unlike growing incrementally. So the Eagles got the juice, but you got to go take it from the Cowboys.
Where I would push back on that, I'm going to give you a fun little stat. I'm not usually like a big stats person, but with the NFC East, this is the case. There's not been a repeat winner since 2004. It's not been a repeat winner.
True.
So it's not really like you got to go get it. You got to go get the division from the Patriots. You got to go get the division from the Chiefs. You don't got to go get the division in the NFC East because it floats around who's going to be the worst in that division every single year.
Let me say this, and here's a problem with coming on the show before Speak for Yourself. Here is the problem, America.
Am I stealing your take?
Yes.
All right, well, stick around for Speak for Yourself and you can elaborate.
I'm going to give this one. I don't think the Cowboys own the division. I think Dak Prescott owns the division. And I think there's a difference there.
Yeah.
Because the Cowboys, they haven't had a repeat champion like you just said, 03-04 that season. But Dak Prescott, he runs through the NFC. He owns the NFC East and everybody associated with it. If Dak is healthy, I believe the division is the Cowboys. If Dak is not healthy, I believe it's up for the taking. Unless Jalen Hurts proves something, or y'all know my guy Carson Wentz, but that's going to be a whole show.
Well, look, I am not in on Carson Wentz at all. But I haven't been for a while, and I've been right. But I do think he's an upgrade in Washington over what they had. So I do think Washington is going to be a little bit better, which changes the division as well. We don't need to talk about the Giants, but I do think he changes the division slightly.
Carson Wentz is incredibly high risk, incredibly high reward. But y'all got to remember, the NFL, give me a dude that's high risk, high reward over a guy that's just going to stay mediocre. Carson Wentz, last year, if not for the end of season Jags game, we're telling a completely different story. And that's what I hate about all of this. The Colts were going to the playoffs, if not for the last game of the season. Now, keep in mind, it was the defense of the Colts and Carson Wentz that really let everybody down. I think the Washington Commanders is it Commanders?
Yes.
It's Commanders. Thank you. I think the Commanders are actually going to be incredibly competitive because they upgraded at receiver, including Scary Terry. They got Jahan Dotson in the first round. They're going to be competitive. Eagles are going to be competitive. It's going to be a war of attrition in the NFC East. Who can stand last?
So here's my other theory. You also spent some time with the Browns. Sorry about that. And I'm completely out on Baker Mayfield. Sold all my stock. Feel great about it. Sold all my Browns stock as well. Feel excellent about that. What I will never do is buy high on the Browns again. Whew, mistake. Mm-mm. But, you know, you live, you learn. Here's the thing. I think the Browns are terrible at doing business, and they show that constantly. They insist on letting us know who they are. You've got this Deshaun Watson situation. The hearings are going on now. We may get some news, and then, you know, today or tomorrow, essentially this week, we'll find out what's happening with Deshaun Watson. Baker Mayfield is still there. He has no market. We have the Seahawks rumored to be interested and Carolina rumored to be interested, and both of them don't want to pay for him, so they're not that interested because he's not that expensive. Browns are going to have to pay some, if not all, of Baker's contract to move him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a market. He's essentially a bridge quarterback right now. The only time we've ever seen him be good is with an essentially perfect situation. Browns have a pretty good roster, obviously. That's why they took the swing on Deshaun Watson. But if we find out through these hearings that Deshaun can't play all year, maybe it's not the worst situation for Baker to stay in Cleveland.
No.
No?
No, 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 no. I am Team Baker until the day I can't say that I die, because that hopefully is a long time
based
from
off
now.
What?
Why?
Oh, my God. This is the most frustrating thing about anti-Browns people. Y'all got to remember what Baker brought the Browns from, Joy. The Browns had not.
Don't forget, I'm a Steelers fan. I very much enjoyed Cleveland being terrible my entire life.
The Browns had not been to the playoffs, Alex, since 02. Hadn't won 10 seasons since 07. But forget all that. Because anybody in theory can go to the playoffs, have a lucky season, can have 10 wins, have a lucky couple games. This is the most important stat. The Browns hadn't had a quarterback start 16 games in back-to-back seasons since Bernie Kosar, I believe, in 88, 89.
Shout out to Bernie.
Baker brought stability to a franchise that was anything but. If I'm Baker, I ain't going back to Cleveland.
Okay, so that's my point. You're not going back to Cleveland.
Nope.
Good for you.
I'm going to collect them checks, though.
Where are you going, honey?
I will sit at home.
You have a substantial, and we were talking to Baker Mayfield right now, not you, obviously. You have a substantial, we have a substantial amount of information,
sure.
Right? We have a sample size on Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. Okay, his rookie year, but they didn't do any winning.
Yep.
Next year, no winning.
Of course.
Third year,
winning.
Good year.
Mm-hmm.
Beat the Steelers.
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest accomplishments you can have as a Browns fan. Congratulations. And then next year, what? He's injured, they're bad again.
Of course.
So he can't elevate a bad situation. He can't elevate a dysfunctional situation. You have a guy in his own division in Joe Burrow that came into a dysfunctional, albeit not as bad as the Browns, but still dysfunctional organization. They were in the Super Bowl last year.
Here's
what's happening with
Go
the
ahead.
Browns. This
Go
is
ahead.
What's happening.
I'm
just
I'm
you like analogies, right? Because
yeah.
It came to me as you were talking, right? The Browns are like, they finally got a 10. And they're like, boy, we got 10. You see, forget all this. Forget all that. Forget this whole history we got over here.
I don't know
here,
where she's
all
going,
right?
America.
We done finally swipe right or whatever way you swipe. I don't know. I don't use that thing. And now we got him. We got her. And like, look at us.
Okay.
And then, of course, that didn't last. And
okay.
Now they're like, wait a minute. Like, this is still us. Like, we gotta, you know, take credit for all that. Have some standards if you're Cleveland. Like, yes, I agree with you. Baker does deserve credit for making them relevant mm-hmm. and for that playoff win.
Yep.
I'm not saying he should be out of the league, but the market tells you what you are. There ain't no market.
Here's the issue. Can I say the issue?
Mm-hmm.
Can I say here's the issue. Everybody listen up. You have to grade the Cleveland Browns on a curve.
Oh, man, come on.
You have to. And there's, Joy,
special
there's no
treatment?
There's no way that all of them quarterbacks were sorry. Robert Griffin. Colt McCoy, Brandon Whedon, Brady Quinn, the first round pick in 2000, Tim Couch. Ain't no way that everybody was sorry. You're talking about a Heisman winner in Robert Griffin, a two-time Heisman finalist in Colt McCoy. Obviously, Johnny Manziel, we won't talk about him, won the Heisman. First round pick in Brady Quinn, first round pick in Brandon Whedon. Ain't no way everybody was sorry. But Baker Mayfield comes into an organization that is notoriously bad and fixed it. So I don't look at the Browns.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
He fixed it.
Fixed what?
He fixed it. Joy.
They won six games out of the 1 year that they had some success. Fixed what?
That's, nope.
That can't be the standard in this situation. This is why I'm arguing with you about this, okay? Because for both sides, this actually makes sense. If Deshaun is out for an entire year,
mm-hmm.
you have Jacoby Brissett, who I like Jacoby. He's a perfectly serviceable
yeah.
backup quarterback. And by all accounts, they seem comfortable with him.
Mm-hmm.
But Baker Mayfield is better than Jacoby Brissett.
In Cleveland, yes.
Yes. So you are already going to have to pay for Baker Mayfield. You have plenty of space. You can afford him. From Baker's perspective, yes, I get it. It's a big old horse pill of pride to swallow. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. However, who is out here checking for you? Nobody. So sometimes you got
to
come back and swallow the pride. And from the Browns' perspective, you just validated my point. The Browns don't do business well. So from the Browns' perspective, this actually makes sense.
Joy, you came on Speak for Yourself 20 feet from where I am currently sitting just 5 days ago and said, you are Queen Petty. Is that true?
Yes, but if you were, yes, I am.
Is that true? Thank you.
Okay,
if you were Baker Mayfield, there is no way that you would go back to the Cleveland Browns after this. You do not go with your ex to a wedding. And Baker Mayfield is not about to show up with his ex, the Cleveland Browns, to the wedding of week one of the NFL season. Coming from Queen Petty, I refuse to believe that
you're not accounting for something else, another toxic trait that I have. Because you are correct about that, okay?
There are multiple.
There's a few lurking. I'm working on it. Not really. I'm fine. I'm also a slow kill. So I will make the appearance of swallowing pride, the appearance of giving into a situation in order to benefit in the long run and then slice you. So that part is the part that I actually think is what Baker should do. Because, yes, you're right. I would not go back.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I would not. And if I was Baker, I would feel the same way. However, this would benefit Baker. Baker could show healthy with this team that he can be a franchise quarterback again, increase his market, which, as we know, is going to grow once the season starts.
I have a thought. The job of a backup quarterback is to learn from a starter. The job of any backup in anything in life is to learn from a starter. Sure. When I sit at my desk, I showed up at FSY. Let me learn from Marcellus Wiley. That is my job as a newbie. Baker's a backup quarterback in Cleveland. The starter is currently Deshaun Watson. If I'm supposed to learn from the starter, Alex Curry, then what did the starter do last year? Deshaun Watson, he sat out the entire season, got paid by the organization he was sitting out from, and still ended up making more money. So if I am Baker Mayfield and I'm going to learn from the guy that y'all said is better than me, then let me learn this note. I'm going to not play a snap for you, Cleveland, and y'all still going to have to pay me. You don't like Cleveland's example and Deshaun Watson, I'll give you one better. Dak Prescott. That's why I love doing the show with you, Joy. Dak Prescott. Think about Dak Prescott. His value went up through injury and absence than it actually did through playing. I think Baker Mayfield's value will rise in absence as opposed to stepping on the football field.
Okay, first of all, Dak Prescott is better than Baker Mayfield.
Sure, so is Deshaun.
Dak Prescott has better intangibles than Baker Mayfield. He is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys and handles it perfectly. I do not believe Baker Mayfield would do the same. There is value in that, and that's why Dak Prescott got paid. Two, Deshaun Watson is better than Dak Prescott and Baker Mayfield combined.
Absolutely.
Or they wouldn't have given him $230 million. So if Baker was Deshaun Watson would not be there. So holding out is not going to go the same way that it did for Baker Mayfield, or for Deshaun Watson, as it would for Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield ain't getting $230 million guaranteed. So while I see where you're going with that, the reason this is happening is the talent disparity. There's no market for Baker Mayfield. Now, I think it will increase as we go on through training camp. Someone's going to get injured or something will happen throughout the season. We know that. But to my point, this really only applies if Deshaun Watson can't play this year.
He won't be able to for some point in time. We know that.
But even if it's 8 games, go with Jacoby Brissett. You had this plan in place anyway. But if it's a year, if you have a whole year, I do think it would benefit both the Browns and Baker Mayfield. It'd be a lot of ego. But I do think that it would do that. Thank you so much for joining us. We could argue about this for the next 4 hours. And thank you for giving us some of your takes that you're now going to expand on Speak for Yourself. Emmanuel Acho, co-host of Speak for Yourself with Marcellus Wiley, coming up next on FS1. Thanks for coming in and listening to me scream. Sorry.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.